This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 27th, 2011. I'm Caleb Brown. China's entrance into the World Trade Organization 10 years ago this month has been good for China and those with whom the Chinese trade. But has it been good for free trade overall? And are we closer to a world without protectionism? Dan Eikenson, Associate Director of the Cato Institute Center for Trade Policy Studies, offers his thoughts.
This month marks China's 10-year anniversary of its accession into the WTO. When China joined the World Trade Organization, it committed itself to a vast body of economic reforms at home, and its economy has grown dramatically since then. Since 2001, the economy has tripled in nominal terms to about $6 trillion. It's the second largest economy in the world now. China's the world's largest exporter. It has been a huge magnet for foreign direct investment and other kinds of investment. Investment is now flowing out of China. Of course, the Chinese have been buying government debt for a long time, but they're starting to move into direct investment and equity investment and things like that. And by and large, the WTO has been very good for China, and China has been good for the WTO.
Hasn't China being in the WTO also been good for trade in the sense that a lot of countries' response to this growing Chinese economy has been to push for protectionism?
That's right. China's participation in the WTO, first of all, instilled confidence in countries around the world that China would play by the rules. And as a result, there was a lot of investment in China. Interests invested without concern that there would be arbitrary takings and things like that. But in the past few years, there has been a lot of concern around the world about, you know, China's rise and the competition from Chinese exports, the impact on domestic markets. So there has been some temptation, I imagine, toward protectionism, and the WTO and its rules has disciplined that protection. So it's a good thing. Right now, I think the big question is whether or not China has actually lived up to its obligations in the WTO. And I think it has done a marvelous job. It really made commitments to sweeping reforms. And you know, the first 5 years of China's membership, the Bush administration sort of granted a honeymoon period, recognizing it's going to take a while to implement these reforms. Since then, there have been cases brought where China has fallen short, and it is falling short in some areas.
How has the U.S. responded in recent years to the rise of China?
You know, in the past few years, certainly since the recession, policymakers and opinion leaders seem to have taken on a new perspective with respect to China. Sort of a loss of confidence. They see China's rise, double-digit growth after the recession. China stayed on that same trajectory. The United States is suffering slow growth and high unemployment by U.S. standards. Our government is heavily in debt. A lot of the debt is owned by the Chinese government. So two schools of thought have sort of emerged among those who think we need to change tack. Some people say we haven't been tough enough with China and we need to enforce the rules better, or we need to change the rules to discipline. We didn't anticipate that China was going to be the juggernaut that it is, and therefore we need to revisit the rules and get tougher. And then there are others who are saying, wow, look what China has done in the course of 10 years with state planning, with central planning, mixed with capitalism. And they're suggesting that Americans need industrial policy just like the Chinese have used. But they need to be reminded that China has moved from a subsistence economy to mid-level manufacturing economy. And the United States is, you know, at the fore of technology. There is entrepreneurship and innovation is not the product of central planning. It's the product of dispersed markets and rule of law and the sophisticated capital markets that we have here in the United States.
And it's not like industrial planning has not been tried in the United States.
Right, that's right. In fact, this administration has looked at China's success as though it's some shiny object. And, you know, President Obama has been pushing for subsidies and investments in solar and wind and lithium-ion battery technology. And so far, that is not generating a lot of benefits, and it's clearly producing a lot of waste.
The Obama administration has taken several, at best, ham-fisted policies toward Chinese goods. Is it going to cost us in terms of a future relationship with this emerging economy?
Yeah, you know, I actually think the administration's tack with China has been appropriate. It's really Congress that complains at every turn. I mean, the Congress is closer to the people, that they have to run for re-election every 2 years, and they like to pin our problems on China's behavior, particularly when we have problems that seem intractable in an environment where the politicians can't get things done. But the administration has, just like previous administrations, it seems to transcend party. The administration takes a broader view, I think, with respect to trade policy, with respect to China, and the administration doesn't want to have a trade war with China. And I don't think that that is really going to manifest itself. If it does, it's going to be subtle. It's going to be subtle in the sense that the United States has imposed duties on Chinese tires, for example, a couple of years ago. Did I think it was a good idea? No. But was the United States entitled to do that under the WTO? Yes. When China acceded to the WTO, it agreed to be treated differently for a period of time after its accession. In fact, the law under which those tire duties were imposed expires next year, and it can't be used anymore. But the Chinese responded to those tire tariffs by imposing anti-dumping and countervailing duties on U.S. chicken exports and on auto parts exports from the United States to China. Now, China is entitled under the WTO to have its own anti-dumping and countervailing duty laws. Most countries are. But those laws need to be administered in compliance with a framework in the WTO, the anti-dumping agreement, the agreement on subsidies and countervailing measures. And the United States has brought China to the WTO with respect to the chicken, the anti-dumping measures on chicken, saying, look, China did not comply with its obligations under the WTO on this. And it's quite possible that's the case. The distinction I'm trying to draw here is that there is countries can avail themselves, governments can avail themselves of protection, and it's not necessarily indicative of a trade war coming on. In fact, for the anti-dumping and countervailing duty laws, it's industry that brings the cases. It's sort of on autopilot, and the administration is not really involved in that. I think we need to reform those laws because there's way too much license for mischief and for hurting consumers and consuming industries.
In the 10 years since China has entered the WTO, are we closer now to the, I guess, famous Wall Street Journal constitutional amendment, there shall be free trade?
We certainly don't live in an environment where free trade exists. It is freer. There's no question there's a lot more trade between the United States and China, and there's a lot more global trade. The problems in trade are less likely to be manifest at the border now in tariffs and quotas than they were in the past, and more likely to be manifest in behind-the-border restrictions, sanitary and phytosanitary restrictions with respect to food safety, other technical barriers to trade and standards and things like that. That, I think, is really where reform-minded free traders really need to focus their efforts and turn the attention of policymakers toward, because that is has a lot of potential for mischief and for denying the benefits of freer trade to consumers and to economies.
Dan Eikenson is Associate Director of the Cato Institute's Center for Trade Policy Studies. You can read his work on the World Trade Organization and other trade-related subjects at cato.org.